Hey, if the enemy's been messing with you, throw the book at him. If the enemy has been messing with you, throw the book at him. Look over here, Monroe sitting over here. It's been too long. Isn't that awesome to see Monroe sitting over here? One of my buddies. He's lost some weight, so I had to get reintroduced. He's lost some weight. I want him to tell me later on how he did that. Praise God. Oh, my. So it's wonderful to see everybody, and we're in a series, and I thought, well, we probably should read these verses that we've been reading so that you know, and others that are freshly here will know kind of what's happening. There is something incomparably happening in our church. This has been a special week of prayer. And I have felt moved by the Holy Ghost. He does move us. If you'll let him, he will move on you. He does move on us. And he inspires us to grow. Remember that the word grow, G-R-O-W. Right encompassed in that word is the thought that maybe God might just take us out of our comfort zone to get us to grow. It's just a thought. Okay, it's just a thought. Of course, if you don't want the ow, O-W, you take that off. All you got left is grr. Have you ever asked somebody how they're doing and they go, grr, I guess, okay, grr. That's because they're not growing. They dismiss the ow, so they dismiss their growth. There is no pain-free growth in God. There is no comfort zone in him. But there is a great joy in knowing that we are personally and congregationally progressing. There has been a major call to prayer in our congregation just of late. Almost, it's on a different level. I don't know if I can fully describe it. I found some scripture that I'd like to read to you today eventually that will be the closest thing that I can find in scripture to it. But there is a call. There has been a call on my life to pray for many, many years. I was looking for places to pray when I was a teenager. I was finding creative places because I lived a long ways from my church and it was an 8-mile walk. And so I found creative places to pray, like my high school roof. That's really creative. I think the roof's been leaking ever since I graduated. But anyway, and I still look, almost every week I still look for new places. I found a new place. You won't believe where I prayed today. I get out, Billy Bray, the famous preacher, he said, I was born in a field, don't put me in a flower pot. Okay, my name is Meadows, right? Can you see how this, okay, so this could apply. So I'm always looking for fresh places to pray. Well, guess where I prayed this morning? There is an industrial, of course, number of places, but I have a good time, whether I'm walking and praying or sitting or driving my car slow on these county roads and praying, have a good old time. Sometimes I play music. Sometimes I'll just look at verses of scripture to put them in my mind and heart. Sometimes I feel led to pray for people and different things. Sometimes I hear the Spirit of the Lord call their names out through my lips. Not from my mind, but from the anointing of the Lord. Sometimes the names of cities, different. You probably have much more amazing things that happen with you, but these are just humble things that happen with us. I prayed at the Southwestern School District's offices, picnic tables. Should I explain to them why that's memorable? God bless our school district. But I don't believe that a school district should harass churches for taxes, for tax purposes. I don't think we should be harassed by a school district. Now, again, there's so many good things, and I prayed God's blessing on them. But I was also there to make a statement. We won this next battle, and we see another battle that we're going to have. Okay, thank you, Lord, that we live in America. But I just thought that'd be a creative place to pray. Because they're the ones that if not, everybody's not paying their taxes, they launch a legal effort to make sure that you have lots of duress and stress on you so you pay your taxes, whether you're a church or not. See? So I say, we won the last few battles, and we're going to win the rest of them. And I'm so bold about it that I looked up at their camera and I'm walking around their front door and I'm sitting on their little, I'm just, here I am. Would you like to talk about this? So we love you, but, you know, we do thank God for the help that we get, you know, to build churches in. And I thank God for our great school district. I just don't think that they should be so tenaciously awful to churches. Okay. Enough said there. Thank God for good schools. Last Sunday, we had an unusual congregational experience. And so I challenged us. I felt like the Holy Ghost had spoken to me, and he did. I'm glad God can talk to us. Yes, he do you know that God talks to us every day? We often just think, oh, that's just my thoughts. No, you don't think that great, okay, by yourself. You know, yeah, okay, so that was him, okay. I mean, I know you like to take the glory, but, you know, all those thoughts aren't yours, when especially they have to do with his kingdom, and they're coming out of nowhere, and they don't even fit what you were thinking about, and all of a sudden, boom, like coins dropping in a jukebox. You have an answer. You have an insight. You have a rhema word. It's the grace of God, the goodness of God. He's trying to show you what it feels like to have him talk to us. It's very, very real. So we read, I'll read these quickly. This is the kind of the core text for this little series. Didn't know that it would even be a series. The Price of a Breakthrough, Part 3, from Genesis 32, verse 24. Would you like to stand in honor to the word of the Lord? God bless you. If you don't have your Bible, don't worry about it. We're going to have it up here, and you can look on with somebody too, and whatever fits your fancy. We're just glad you're here. Verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, from Genesis 32. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Later, that man was referred to as an angel. In Scripture, later that man was referred to as God himself in Scripture, okay. Verse 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, that is the angel saw that he didn't prevail against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, this is the angel, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, and this is Jacob now talking, and he said, I will not let thee go. This is that made up mind. We know where we're going. We know we've, have you ever felt this way? I know I have at different times. Lord, I can't take no. I can't take no. What did he say here? I will not let thee go except thou bless me. I will not turn loose until you bless me. I'm going to tell you what, when we get to that place, we are dancing on the cusp of a breakthrough. You can be healed. I don't care what it is that you have wrestled with. My God is a healer. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are, present tense, we are healed. Amen. Isaiah 53:5 for the address. It's true. God is a healer. Verse 27. And he said unto him, what is thy name? The angel saying, speaking it to Jacob, what's your name? And he said, Jacob. See, when he admitted that, Jacob means trickster, con man. You know, you could say almost politician. I'm sorry. Help me, Jesus. Verse 28. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with man. And hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? Watch this. And he blessed him there. When Zacchaeus climbed up into a tree, remember that little song we used to sing in Sunday school? Zacchaeus literally put himself in a place where Jesus would notice him. You can, there is a there for you and me. You understand? He blessed him there. I mean, I've been on planes, jets, I've flown in helicopters. When you get up really high, I've been at the top of the Empire State Building, been at the top of the World Trade Center. I believe I've been at the top of the Empire State Building, but I know I've been at the top of the World Trade Center before they came down. I've got the ticket to prove it. I ran all the stairs up to the top of the Washington Monument. I don't know how I did that. I ran all the way up to the top. I was only 18 then. I was trimming fast. Son. But my ministry has expanded a little. Carrying too much luggage. But God knows. All that good cooking my woman does for me. 41 years in counting. Whew, I wish I could say 41 pounds, but 41 years in counting. Praise God. She is an amazing cook. That is no exaggeration. So the angel says back, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Verse 30, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh, strongest part of our physicality. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. This is a story. This is one of my favorite Bible stories. Anybody have any favorite Bible stories? This is one of my favorite stories. It's the picture of a man who prayed himself into a breakthrough. I'm going to ask our prayer director, first lady, and my sweetheart to pray over us. Would you lift your hands and hearts and let God speak to you?
Lord, we just humble our hearts today. We want to hear the word. We want to see what you have for us in the word. Would you anoint our pastor? Would you quicken our hearts? And would you help us to grow as we receive the word? In Jesus' name.
Would you give him a word of praise? Would you give him just a little bit of worship? Hallelujah. We receive your word. We receive your word, Lord. We receive your word. Praise God. You may be seated. Breakthroughs are not free. Breakthroughs will cost us. God in his plan. This is what, you know, one of the 3 million things that I love about God, he has big plans for us. He loves us on good days and bad days and tough days. And you heard this little dynamo up here. I don't know if you read what little Christy, wow, what a wrong description. Little, she is a dynamo. She's not just little, she is a stick of dynamite. What she said to the devil, she put it up on Facebook. She gave the devil his eviction notice. And then she comes back today to ask me, oh, I wish I had this happen more often. Pastor, is it all right if I testify? That's like saying sick him to a German shepherd. It's like, you really want to ask me that question? Oh, man. Oh, yeah, Christy. Go ahead, testify. And did she not minister? Oh, my. And Cody, his beautiful harmony and his gift of music. And I know it's in the family, Cameron. I know he's not the only one that's got some music in him, Cameron. Praise God. But anyhow, we are in the midst of a call by God. He loves us. Listen, he loves us when we feel like we're junk. We aren't junk. We've never been junk. But sometimes there might be days when you feel a little bit that way. But he's there. He's consistent. God is consistent. God doesn't change. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. He is the same. And he's calling people to prayer. I don't know if you can think of something, but I called the church. I challenged our church. Let's do something unusual. Let's make a commitment to prayer. Let's have prayer in our homes. Let's have prayer over at the church. You know, we came that night, and guess what we did with our ministerial training? We started it off with the prayer. We don't normally do that. We normally say a little prayer and we're off and running. We had a little prayer meeting, didn't we? Some of us were back the next day. We had vespers at my house a night or two. All kinds of combinations. There were little text mails sent out to us to remind us to kick our game up a little higher. We're headed into Easter. What an awesome time to be praying more. Oh, praise God. Prayer will change you. And sometimes all we need is that breakthrough. Has anybody ever had a spiritual breakthrough through prayer? Raise your hand and give God a witness. I'm telling you, once you get a hold of a breakthrough, you start talking different. You have greater confidence. I am somewhat haunted by a verse. So that would mean I'm haunted in a good way. I'm somewhat haunted by a verse of scripture. And this is what it says. Woo. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I feel at times that I'm the wealthiest man in the world. I have this amazing God that has taken up habitation inside of me. I have his immutable word, his unshakable word. I have this beautiful church that I get to hang out with. Praise God. Amen. I'm a blessed man. There's an anointing on my life. It's palpable and it's real. There's a calling on my life. But I want to tell you this. There's also a calling on your life. There's a calling. Now, I don't want to blow your mind. I believe there are specific callings like personal callings. But I believe that there are also congregational callings. I believe, Sister Meadows, you give me a witness. If I get off track, throw a white flag, throw a handkerchief in the air. I believe there is a calling on this congregation. Hallelujah. We ought to be leading in prayer from every angle. Leading in prayer. So he's entrusted to me understandings. He gave me a revelation on his name. He gave me a revelation on baptism. He gave me a revelation on the necessity of being baptized in the Holy Ghost. He gave me a revelation on holiness. He gave me a revelation, God be praised, on spiritual warfare. I want to tell you this. When a church is really praying like it can, everything changes. When a church is praying like they can anybody raise your hand and say, since last Sunday, I accepted Pastor Challenge, and I'm not where I want to be yet, but I'm doing some things. I'm praying some prayers, and I'm trying to get my prayer, not just do a little praying, but I'm trying to actually build. This is my challenge to you. I'm challenging all of us, not just to dabble in prayer, not just to let it be a little hobby, a little something we do. You know, we go through a buffet and we take a few things and leave most of it. No, I want it all, God. I want your promises. I want revival. I want to see people healed. I want to see Joy dance with no pain in her feet. Hallelujah. And Peggy testify in this near future that diabetes has disappeared because the healer is in the house and because we're praying like we can pray. Hallelujah. Remember that famous verse. It goes like this, Matthew 21:13. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the, definite article, the house of prayer. But ye have made it a den of thieves. Now this statement occurs in a number of places in the Gospels. But it was written in the Old Testament, and he's bringing it to their attention in that day and also in our day. He's saying, oh, you know, my house is not just a house, you know, of worship. Well, let's go over to the house of worship. You know, thank God we're called Faith Worship Center. We love to worship. Many a time we get so caught up. Here's my deal about that. If we don't get caught up once in a while, Gina, how are we ever going to be raptured? Because the rapture is the great catching away. We got to have some rehearsals for that. You understand? If he's going to catch us up and carry us away, we better have some rehearsals on that number and get caught up every once in a while in the spirit so that when the rapture does happen, we're totally rehearsed. Better than Easter plays. Ooh, man. Praise God. I got to be so careful. I almost have to wear some paperweights in my shoes because, Brother Cody, when I see people growing and people being used of God, I get a little high in the Holy Spirit. No, I'm not on drugs. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. I do like my coffee in its place. Amen. And for my wife, it's a salvational thing. Hallelujah. It's a redemptive thing. Oh, praise God. But in its place, amen, a servant, not a master. Now, do you remember, not only did he say, my house shall be called a house of prayer. He's saying, look, of all the things that you do, let my house have the reputation of being a place where people pray. Let it be known as the house of prayer. Oh, praise God. And then he says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, what know ye, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. So your body, my body, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a switcheroo. I'm going to tell you that not just this house, but you and I, we are his house, and he wants us to pray in such a way and build such a prayer life that the most dominant thing that can be said about what goes on in this temple, I am, you are, we are the house of prayer. We are the house of prayer. God in his grace has given us breakthroughs, but we're riding right on the edge. I remember, Gina, when we had a breakthrough with your grandkids. Oh my, it was amazing. It's still going on. They're here today. One of the things I look forward to when I come to church is I get to see my munchkins. Wow. But she prayed that breakthrough into existence. There are some other families. There's a breakthrough on God's calendar for you. And when we seek him with all of our heart, he moves it up in his plans. Woo! What I have come to believe is that our prayer patterns are way too staccato. They are way too wobbly. We are not called to dabble in prayer. How many of you remember this little injunction from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? Pray without ceasing. Verse 16, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? It's kind of hard to pray when you're doing this and doing that. Live, I think he's saying to us, live in the spirit of prayer. There's a famous old plumber from England, Peggy, you and I, we've read stories of him. He raised a number of people from the dead. Smith Wigglesworth was one unique cat. I mean, he was afraid of nothing. And he had great respect for the power of God. And they said that when he would walk with somebody, he would stop about every 15 minutes. It didn't matter where it was, downtown. It didn't make any difference. He'd stop, and he'd put his hands up in the air, and he'd praise the Lord. He didn't say, I hope I don't hurt nobody's feelings. Is everybody cool with this? I'm going to have a little word of prayer. Hope I don't step on anybody's toes. Hope nobody gets convicted. He didn't care. He didn't give a hoot. That's the philosophy of the owl. He didn't give a hoot about all that. He went into a washroom. We call it a bathroom today. And he had some prayer in there. He comes out and sits down. And there's a man on the train. And he said, sir, you convict me of sin. His face was shining. He had such a prayer life. He raised, now different reports vary, but he raised somewhere between 15 and 22 people from the dead. The man had a prayer life, and he didn't like to go 15 minutes without stopping and having a prayer break. I'm going to tell you something. I believe that God will raise up vessels of power. If we will pray, he will raise up missionaries. He will raise up soul winners. He will raise up evangelists. He'll use this church to change this city. He'll use this church to rock, amen, Ohio, and affect the Midwest if we will pray like we can pray. What I have felt in prayer, it speaks first to me, but to, I'm sure to all of us. He's called us to a holy life. He's called us to a separated life. He's called us to a pure life. He's called us to a clean life. And we don't inside of ourselves have grace to live like that unless we're praying. What happens is, if we're not careful, this is no, ladies and gentlemen, know my heart. I am so excited about this year and everything God's up to. But I'm trying to be very transparent with you. You can fall back into your old temptations if you don't build a prayer life. You can fall back into your old inclinations. See, he wasn't just crucified to save me from my sins. He was crucified to save me from my tendencies. And without the Holy Ghost operating in us, without a prayer life, not just dabbling in prayer, not just going to events that are called prayer meetings, and all of them have their value. I challenge you to build, to work at this and build a prayer life. I came over here on Monday. Guess what? I don't like to leave my house on Monday, William, if I don't have to, you know. What are you trying to do, Pastor? I blow it out on Sunday. I'm trying to recharge. My suits are often soaked when I get done. No apologies. They call me Rev. If I don't get revved, I don't feel like I give them their money's worth. Hallelujah. I want to give it my best shot. But our best days, listen, if we will follow up on what we told God, we stood around this altar, and most of us, there wasn't like 100 of us behind there. There are almost all of us were around this altar as we challenged you to commit to prayer. I know it's not perfect yet, but I'm trying to do more. So I said that Monday's probably my weakest day of prayer because I'm arn. So I'm going over to the church. I'm going to go pray over at the church on Monday. Well, I was just there the night before. I was here Sunday morning and Sunday night. We had a prayer meeting Sunday morning. And we had a prayer meeting Sunday night. Now I'm coming back on Monday. What am I doing? I'm doing what I challenged you to do. Take that area of your life that's not so strong. Take that day that maybe it doesn't have the kind of prayer in it that it should. And use that as a test case to show God you are sincere about growing a prayer life. Woo! Romans 8:13. To me, challenges us. Verse 13 of Romans 8. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, from the word mortician, funeral director, the deeds of the body, ye shall live. From Romans 8:13, from the Amplified. For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But if you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. What am I talking about? When we build a prayer life, there's a whole lot of stuff. You see, we get our flesh. You say, well, bless God, Pastor, I'm saved. sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm glad you are, and you know, keep that up, okay? I want to say stay there, but I don't want you to get stationary. So keep that up. Well, I keep working at that. We're walking in that. But I want to tell you this. There's not a lot of difference between saved flesh and unsaved flesh. And it is very possible for any of us to let our guard down and do something stupid or foolish or just flat be fleshy. But when you have a prayer life, there is this little voice. I'm glad that God did most of the time yell at us. I thank God for what Christy said. There are times when we need to yell at the devil. She, you know, she, how tall is Christy? On a good day, with her high heels. And she's going after it. I love that. I love that. When you get up and take action, the devil doesn't want you to know he's a paper tiger. He is a paper tiger. And when you get up and take action, you scare the pudding out of him. He's used to people just jawing and talking and generating hot air. But when you and I get up and say, you know what, I'm going to step into that altar and I'm going to step into that prayer business and I'm going to do something about this whole thing. We're not just going to talk about prayer. We're actually going to pray. Woo! Now, one of the great and horrific, as it were, examples is a man named Samson, whom when you read the chapters on him, there's about three or four chapters on Samson. He was doing all these unique things. He was like athlete of athletes, probably gold medal, you know, in several categories, you know, gold medalist. I mean, who could catch 300 foxes, let alone tie their tails together? Now, I've worked with pets, and I have the scars to show it. Can you imagine what it took to catch 300? I mean, that dude was not only strong, he was fast. And then to tie their tails together and put a fireman in the middle of those tails and set them running through the cornfields of the Philistines. Son, that is a whole different ballgame. I get my cat, she thinks she's a human being. But she has a fur coat and she's been blessed. And she has this warfare mode that I get her in, and her ears go back. And her head goes, I don't care, big guy, how tall you are, how big you are. I'm fixing to take you out. And I just get such a kick out, you know, and I just tease her, you know. But if she grabs my wrist, grabs my hand, and doesn't let go, I'm in trouble. She's in warfare mode. Son, she leaves marks. It's taken me days at times to recuperate. The bleeding, you know, has finally stopped. But I wish that we could. I saw that in Christy. When the devil messes with you, make him pay. Get on your prayer bones and make him pray. It's not just your theology. It's your neology. It's not just what you know in your head. It's what you have operational in your heart. You know enough to put the devil on the run. Yes, you do. You see, Samson's giftings were his undoing. And see, we're in a very gifted movement, very gifted fellowship. We have amazing preachers and fantastic singers. That's so true. Samson was gifted. But you can't find anywhere where he built a prayer life. So much of his life, yeah, it was full of exploits, but it was also an unending story of a man who didn't have his flesh under control. Matter of fact, his most amazing prayer was on the day that he died. Because under duress, he could pray. And see, God doesn't want that to be our calling card. He has to put us under stress so we will pray like we could pray. But he was a gifted man. He just had no prayer life. Listen to this. When you read of Israel, Israel came out of Egypt. She'd been in bondage how many years? About 400. That's a long time to be locked up. Came out of Egypt, but continued. This was the problem that God had with Israel. She came out of Egypt, but she didn't get Egypt out of her. And Israel continued to think like Egypt. Egypt's a type of the world. Somebody say a type of the world. God spent centuries that trying to get Egypt. It only took him 8 days to get Israel out of Egypt. Did you know it's an 8-day walk from Egypt to Israel? It's an 8-day walk. It only took days to get them out of Egypt. But he spent centuries trying to help them to get Egypt out of them. They operated with an Egyptian psychology. They operated with an Egyptian mindset. And it's the same with us unless we're praying. Anybody ever listen to John Maxwell preach and teach? Lift your hand if you've heard John Maxwell. Is he like, oh my lands. I've talked to him a few times. Met him. To me, everything he says is remarkable. So this one day, I don't remember all that was happening that particular day. Several years ago, we put a video. Well, that does date us, doesn't it? We put a video, one of those big video where he was teaching. And I'm listening, Vicki, and I'm noticing some things. His voice doesn't sound like the old John Maxwell. His face, there's something in his face of, I don't know how to explain it, of light and glory. I've seen God use him. I don't mind telling you that I've seen God use John Maxwell. And then as he was sharing his heart, he told us somewhere in that great message that he had spent all night long in prayer. You see, that's what Jacob did. And that's what would help some of us if we could turn the idiot phones, I'm sorry, the smartphones off. And I've got an iPhone. I love it. Oh, I love Jesus. I like my iPhone. Okay. Old Brother Urshan used to say, "You love a Jesus. You like food, but you love Jesus." You know. So, I love Jesus, and I like my iPhone. That old apostle that prayed thousands through to the Holy Ghost, and thousands were healed. He was a witness to Montgomery Ward, Andrew Bar David Urshan of Persian fame. A man full of the Holy Ghost who used to have prayer meetings on the side of the Lake Michigan with snow in his hair. And he's got all of these kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, and many of them are in the ministry, pastoring and preaching and evangelizing and missionaries. That man knew how to pray. Listen to this verse, Colossians 3, verse 5. Mortify, there's that word again. Mortify or put to death. Play the mortician and put to death. How do we do that without prayer? It's impossible without prayer. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. There it is again in Colossians 3, 5. He's saying, play the part of the mortician, live for me, build a prayer life, and deal with your flesh. How about this one from Galatians 5, verse 24. This was a verse that years ago really spoke to my heart, and I'd love to see it. When it comes to me and when I see it in the Word. Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. I feel like God is dealing with even our movement about this. And prayer meetings are springing up. When is the last time you did what Jacob did? Watch this. Real quick. I'm going to do this real quick. We're not going to take a lot of time, but I want you to see this in the scriptures. Because this is the scripture that spoke to me about what's happening in our church. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, I like this, he will be found of you. He said this to the nation of Judah. If ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble, verse 4, but when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord, they turned to him in their trouble. The Lord God of Israel, and sought him. He was found. God is findable. My wife said something to me. She's never said this in our lives. Yeah, we've been married 41 years. I hope you don't mind if I share it. It comes to me. It's dangerous being a preacher. The Spirit of God will move on you and it's not your notes. You know, you feel impressed to say something. And then you realize there's somebody else in the story. And then normally you check with them before you get to the platform. But because the Spirit of God moved on me here, he didn't, so maybe he does, see. So here's what I want to tell you. The week that Ember was killed, my precious baby girl, beautiful, amazing kid, I got in my car. In those days of that week, I had my own prayer meetings out on lonely roads. Much of it was in the darkness of morning before dawn broke. And I wasn't complaining. God hates complaining. So do I. There's two types of wine. There's wine that comes in bottles, and then there's wine that comes in people, you know, like whining. Okay. And I didn't want him to feel that I was, but I wanted to say, hey, Lord, could you talk to me? Could you help me understand something? I never, God would show me at other times other people and something was going to happen with them. He would sometimes show me. Something was coming down and to be ready to help them. But I never, ever had the inkling that I would bury my only child. Ever. And I know if he had told me what was going to happen and I had shared with Ember, that it would have absolutely terrified her. But I'm telling you that because in God's grace and mercy, he talked to me. It was so clear. I reached down. There were so many things coming at me. It was like he was waiting. It was almost like he was waiting for me to get out there and talk to him. You know, I'm waiting for you, son. I got some things to explain. And stuff was coming at me so fast that I had to reach down and pull up my little tiny little dictaphone thing and just turn it on and speak what he was giving me, so that, because I couldn't write that fast. I couldn't type that fast in my iPad. So what she said to me is, she's given me the green light here. I did not realize this, but she said, if you had not gotten a word from God God clearly laid it out for me and helped me to see what was happening. There is, I believe I can tell you this, I am not angry at God at all. He's my best friend. He is the best thing that's ever happened to me. But she would be a close second, and Amber would be a close third. What'd you, Rick, how does that go? We would come to church and you would call us number one and number two, but Amber would come and you'd say, well, number three. And she wanted to know why she was only number three. And you had to explain that, well, your mom, Amber was so competitive, she wanted to be first place. She was rookie of the year at her company. They named their training center after her. But she always wanted to be numero uno, number one. And so when you would call, I didn't even know that was going on, but Rick would say, hey, well, hello, number three. It would so irritate her. She wanted to be number one. That's my baby girl. Amen. So my wife was expressing this to me, that if I had not quickly gotten a word from God, I don't even remember exactly how you said it, but it's helped you and blessed you, and you weren't sure what would have come of you if the leader of our home hadn't had some prayer meetings and got a rhema word. I'd never heard her say that before. See, Mom and Dad, your kids need a rhema word. You need to get a hold of a word from God that could give them direction. Hey, Dad, you need to get a hold of God and get a word from Him. Get some direction so that when storms come. See, somebody said it this way. When things go wrong, don't go with them. When things go wrong, don't go with them. See, God is so smart, He can take a storm and make it an employee. Talk about a brilliant God. He can take a storm and put it on the staff and make it a staff member and teach us things. And so He helps us and He's helping us, and I'm excited about everything, and I am not bitter at God because He is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalms 27:1. Watch this now. Verse 5, 2 Chronicles 15, almost done. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation. Doesn't this sound like the world we're living in? And city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Now watch this. Verse 8, and when Asa... Everybody say King Asa. Asa, his administration lasted 41 years. He was a fantastic king. He had a heart for God. And so, watch this. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord. You see, that's where I see us in this chapter. I don't know, there are 1189 chapters in the Bible. I don't know of another chapter in the Old or New Testament that has something quite like this. So I was drawn to it. It's what's happening here. If I can somehow somewhat detect what's happening here. We are entering into a covenant to seek the Lord at our church. We are renewing the altar. And the altar not just being this blessed and sacred place, and I often pray over this area, I do, that God would bless and sanctify this altar. It's precious. This is your life can be changed forever right here. But also we need altars at our homes. In our homes, we need altars. But notice, it wasn't just prayer, and there's more that's coming about that in this chapter. He renewed the altar of the Lord, but that wasn't the only thing. They put away idols. So what is, how does that apply? How could that be? That's written there to teach us something. Okay. So what do you love more than God? What do you honor more than God? What do you put before him? All right. I believe that the Lord is saying, look, we're going to get the prayer in, but also judge sin. Judge temptations. Deal with yourself. And then God won't have to use somebody else. He'll just use you and your Bible and the Holy Ghost in you. This man hated idolatry. He hated idolatry. But he renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon. For they fell to him out of Israel in abundance. Watch this. When they saw that the Lord, his God, was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. What's this about? It's sacrifices. Anytime you want God to change something, there's going to be a few elements involved. One of them is prayer. One of them is judging any idolatry in our lives. Don't, you know, you can look at me with those Americanized eyes and tell us, oh, we don't kneel before idols. We have our own special brand of idols in America. Don't you ever kid yourself. And the Holy Ghost will talk to you about that. Boy, that was a pitiful. I'll say it again and give you a chance to catch up to me. Am I the only one he talks to about this stuff? Okay. Watch this, verse 12. Here we are. I've never seen anything but this chapter. And they entered into a covenant. Aaron, can you see it? To seek the Lord God and their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. That whosoever, this is pretty strong, would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. Wow, whoa, Joe. Hold the phone, Katie, bar the door. That's pretty, wouldn't you say that's pretty strong? Well, now here's the spiritual. No, it doesn't mean that we're going to die physically. But now, if we don't pray, we will die spiritually. See, but I mean, they made it tough. They gave nobody wiggle room. We're going to have, I'm all right. Looking at me like, song. Wow, where'd this maniac come from? Well, I was reading the Bible. Your Bible reads the same way. Isn't that a coincidence? It's in your Bible too. Okay. They were fired up about this. Watch this. Verse 14. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting.
Man, I like that.
Come on, Pentecostals. Come on, Spirit-filled people. With shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him. Watch this. With their whole desire. Jessica, you were testifying to our ministerial couples. What did you feel happened last Sunday? Holy Ghost came on you.
I felt honored that God would speak to us that way. First off, that he would see that there's something in us, that he would spend so much time on us to want to help us to grow in that area. I felt drawn to it. I felt convicted. I felt challenged that God was saying, you're doing something right, but you need to keep growing more in this, and I want to see more from you. I expect more from you, like you were saying. And I felt drawn to not just be convicted in that day, but to be convicted and really grab a hold of it, because it is life or death. It is your spiritual life or death. And I want to feel drawn to prayer more every day, not just when I hear the word of God preached and I feel convicted in that day, but I want to feel convicted every day. I want to feel drawn every day.
Anybody feel that in the Holy Spirit? Feel a witness? In your spirit, I got a witness. Jesus' name. That's it's real. There's something of the handiwork of God here. It's a unique time. And I feel like we're running out. We're running out of time. And, you know, God's calling us. Watch this. They sought him with their whole desire. Have you ever had that experience where you could say you sought God with your whole desire? And he was found of them. He was found. And the Lord gave them rest round about. And if that wasn't enough, verse 16 is the last verse, but also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her. Now, he's dealing with family now. He's not writing them a free pass because they're family. Whoa. He removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it at the brook Kidron. What does that show us again, Brother Paul? I believe it shows us. No, it shows us that we thoroughly walk through our lives. And when the Spirit of the Lord says, judge that, stop that, start that, get that under the blood. Don't carry that around. Quit rehearsing it. Walk in this. Don't let that happen again. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm gonna come into a covenant of prayer. Praise God. Somebody say covenant of prayer. I never felt it like this on this level, quite like this since I've been here. Now watch this. Whew. I had a friend of mine. I'm just going to call him Gene because that was his first name. That is his first name. Amazing guy. Came to Bible college, and it had been a while, Sister Christie, since he had a breakthrough. And he was hungry for God. He wanted God to visit him and help him. And we had kind of a unique building. It was kind of like in the shape of a wheel with spokes, rooms, and dorms, and then school rooms. And he... I learned this later, but he would come into the school rooms, Michelle, when school was over, and us guys, the ones that were there. I don't think I was there yet. This happened just a little bit before I came to the same Bible college, but he was having personal prayer meetings in the school rooms where they studied, but when the classes were over and the kids were out working, he was getting in there and having prayer meetings, personal prayer meetings. Because he wanted a breakthrough in his life. He was largely unknown. Tall, skinny, has a unique appearance. I don't know how to describe him, just a very special man. But somewhere in those weeks and months of praying and asking God for a breakthrough, God gave him a personal breakthrough. It helped to transform him. It made him the premier preacher in our state. He went to a little town and took a little church, and the church exploded in growth, mainly because their pastor was a praying man and a preaching machine. Now, I was in that district as a young person. I was but a teenager. As the church grew, he decided to challenge his church in prayer. They were, I know this is going to blow your mind, they were coming to church to pray, as many as could. I'm sure it wasn't everybody, different work schedules and so on. But from 5 to 7 in the morning. Why could he challenge them? Because that's what he walked in himself. No wonder that church was growing. A little church of 50 became a church of 500. 10x in short order. It was, you know, it became the largest church of our fellowship in that district. So this one morning, they're coming and they're praying at the church. 2 hours, many of them. And God began to fall on the bad boys of the city and the area. Gang members, you name it. And they started coming to the church. Sometimes when they'd come out to clean the church, there would be weapons left on the altar. This lady belonged to that church. Good girl, good gal. Was getting ready to go over to the prayer meeting. And she felt like God said to her, don't take that little hanky today. Take that dish towel that you're using right there. Because you're going to need it today. Don't depend on a little handkerchief today. Take the dish towel. And so she took that dish towel. I think she stuffed it in her purse. And she got over to the prayer meeting. And they were having unbelievable prayer meetings. And when she got in that building, the Holy Ghost fell on her. And she began to travail and weep. I don't know if she had ever wept like that before in her life. And as we softened the lights, I believe that God wants to put this kind of anointing upon this church. She remembered the impression, the leading of the Holy Ghost. Don't take that handkerchief. Take that dish towel. She began to weep, Brother Tim, so profusely began to travail. You know, scriptures like when Zion travails, Zion's a code word for the church, right, in the Old Testament. We are the spiritual Zion. Zion, of course, was Israel, Old Testament, but in the New Testament, Zion is the church. When Zion travails, the Holy Ghost moved on you this morning. You know what we did? We didn't shut it down. It was time to have our little leadership meeting. I just put all that on hold. See, if you're willing to put all the average vanilla on hold, if the Spirit of God's moving on you, God loves that. Because it's saying, I honor. I knew it was going to scare probably our guests coming in. You know, well, it'll keep them, you know, they won't fall asleep. Praise God. We're already in a hair-raising prayer meeting. What do? Well, we need to be in here touching base, but no, there's something more important happening. There's been a little breakout, a little breakthrough back here. Oh, praise God. And Patricia, thank you for praying. Thank you. And Gina, thank you for praying with her. And I tried to honor God. And then you understand what I'm saying? Can you honor God on Monday? Honor God in your Tuesdays. You know, you might take a little break from work and you get back there in the break room and you just feel like you want to read a scripture or something, have a little, just a little, you know, no, cause nobody, no fright, no, you know, but just have a little word of prayer or something. Just honor God. Honor what he's doing. And this is what I've discovered about that. When we honor what he's doing, he will do more. This preacher has a breakthrough that changes him forever. I remember him preaching at our general conference. There were probably 15 to 20,000 people there. But when he went and took a church, his breakthrough became their breakthrough. And now, I don't know why, it's not in my notes, but I got to be obedient. You ready for this? One of the greatest men of God that I know in the world. Very prophetic man. Pastor to church that runs hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Okay, give you a little idea that he's got corn in the crib. He's a personal soul winner. When I tried to get his phone number one day and I called Wichita, I got an operator and she asked me whose number I wanted. And I said, well, pastor. And I gave the name. And she said, well, he's my pastor. I thought, I can't even call for information and not run into somebody that this pastor's not witness to. She was in his church. He prophesied over me and said that you're going to have a breakthrough. And I told you all this. You're going to have a breakthrough. I've told you a little of it, but not all of it. You're going to have a breakthrough. Man of God. He and his wife won 109 people in 1 year. You think he might know what he's talking about? When's the last year you won 109 people? See, he's the real deal. But he said, when that happens, everywhere you go, you're going to take it to them. And wherever you preach after this breakthrough that's coming, you're going to bring it to other churches. Come on, lift your hand and give God a witness. He's a good God. He'll plug you in. You'll carry the fire. He's got a bigger picture. Hallelujah. He's got a bigger picture than you've got. Jacob wrestles all night. And then he limps in the flesh the rest of his life because God put his hip out of joint, the strongest part of his physicality. The place where you think you are the best and you shine the most. God sometimes in his mercy, he puts it out of joint. So you limp there and have to trust him to be excellent in that department instead of trusting your flesh or your natural giftedness. You'll have to do some leaning on him in the future because of Brother Aaron. One life-changing breakthrough. When you read about Jacob, he is not even the same guy. That church in my old home state exploded in growth. And it wasn't a dead, it was a lie. And that man was a preacher. Came to our little church and preached to us and stirred and challenged us all. I love you, God. Can you tell him that? Hey, God, I'm up for this. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof. Hallelujah. Hey, Lord, I got some stuff I need your help to handle. I need a healing. I need a deliverance. I need an answer to prayer. I need a breakthrough in my finances. I need a breakthrough with my grandkids. I need a breakthrough in my family. I'm telling you, he's the God of breakthrough. And I'm opening up this altar. I wish somebody could run to this altar and say to God, you count me in. I am open and flexible. I am, Lord Jesus, I am involved. I am a part of this thing. I am not a bleacher rat. I'm not a bystander. I want to be in the middle of the move of God. In Jesus' name, would you love the Lord with me right now? Hallelujah. As Brother Thad ministers in music and God, we just pray together. We humble ourselves. We humble ourselves. House of praise. House of praise. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. voice of praise. Jesus, we covenant, Lord, with you. God, we're hungry in Jesus' name. Oh, make me a house of praise. Make me, oh, make me a house of praise. A praise, a praise, a praise. Make me a house of praise. I am your house of praise. Oh, let him touch you. Let him touch you. Let him bless you. Let him love you.